Good morning.
Is that your dog, Lee?
Yes, it is. I've been saying good morning. I think I was the first one on, and I've heard an awful lot of people. And it's the new one that's begging for her food.
Oh. I don't know where Brenda is, but we could get started until she comes on.
Well, good morning. This is Lee. I think I was the first one. I've heard there's a lot of people. I've heard a lot of beeps.
Good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Anybody else want to say hi? So I guess it's just you and me.
Oh, no. It's Betty. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Betty. How are you?
Very good, thank you. And both of you?
Good. Like a sunshine. It's always good when there's sunshine and low temperatures.
Yes, we have some sunshine today as well.
Although I did just hear the farmer's almanac for the winter does not look good.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
We're supposed to get snow like the middle of November.
Well, I'm a little disappointed today. I never have conflicts. I mean, it's usually Tom with his doctor's appointments, and I have our Bible study luncheon, but on top of it, the vegan restaurant that I didn't like out of the three that are here down by Irvine, the one is having a special cook today, and having special, I think it's, anyway, I had it marked on the calendar to go, and I can't go, so it's nice to at least be on a list. Maybe I'll still have another special cook.
That's true. Anyway, we're supposed to get snow in the middle of November and again a big one in the middle of April.
Yay.
You haven't heard that?
No.
Whether it was like check or just in general.
Maybe I was trying to ignore it, huh?
That's probably, and it's supposed to be very cold this winter.
I had heard that.
Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we usually have sometimes it's very hot, and since our summer started late, we started the second batch of tomatoes and cucumber and zucchini, I think it was.
Oh.
So I think that we'll have heat, because sometimes it gets really hot in September and October, and since summer started late, I hope to have some vegetables or another batch of tomatoes.
How cool is that? Is Brenda on?
Yes.
Good.
Sorry I'm late. I was looking on McDougal's website and time got away from me.
Anything good that you picked up?
Well, I was looking up the high fructose corn syrup thing and I Googled it on there. And yeah, they're discussing it here in the forum. It seems that the difference between glucose and fructose is pretty strong. Glucose is digested. Glucose is metabolized by the liver. Fructose is not. And more percentage of fructose goes to the liver. And let's see, in a brief, it causes liver damage just like alcohol causes liver damage.
Fructose does?
Fructose does. It's the same kind of thing without the buzz, they say. It causes fatty liver, the high amounts of it in our system, causes the fatty liver and the damage and our insulin levels to raise significantly.
Hmm.
Where did you find this? Because I'd sure like to get a copy of that.
It's on McDougal's website. I just went to his, the right side where you look for stuff, and it went into the Google, not into the, so I put in high fructose corn syrup, and this came up.
Wow, well, I'll sure do that, because I'd like to make a copy of it for my daughter and grandchildren.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. This guy, Dan, that was writing, said he hadn't realized that fructose corn syrup was so bad until he listened to McDougal's lecture entitled Low Carb Hysteria.
Does Does he address Karo syrup at all?
He does address Karo syrup. He said it's different. He says in this little short brief that you can't buy prices of corn syrup on its own. That's only for manufacturers. But it made its debut with sodas, like in the 60s. And now it's in all of our processed foods, even your whole grain bread. I picked up 4-0 wheat whole grain bread yesterday, and the second ingredient was high fructose corn syrup.
Wow.
So be careful about it. Not metabolized, and here's the thing about the Oregon. Glucose, 20% of glucose out of 100% ends up in your liver. That would be like two slices of white bread. So it takes, then the rest of it gets metabolized in the rest of your body, say your muscles or your brain or whatever. And then So the same 120 calories for fructose, he says, let's take orange juice, for example. But now 60 of these calories are going to be fructose, because fructose is half of sucrose, and sucrose is what's in orange juice. So it's going to be all of the fructose, that 60 calories plus 20% of the glucose. That's another 12 out of 60. So in other words, 72 out of 120 calories will hit the liver, three times as much as when it was just glucose. So when they put this sucrose in your orange juice and stuff, it really ups what's going to hit your liver instead of just eating the orange. And he explains that the fiber is out. So you can't possibly eat a whole crate of apples, but you can have a whole crate of sweetness in your fructose. So you're overloading your body with high concentrated sugar, which causes the liver damage. And if you were just taking the natural sugar, or even just eating sugar, your body would start to feel lightheaded and faint, and it would say, hey, wait a minute, I have enough. But it doesn't recognize it with fructose. So you can just keep eating it and keep eating it and keep eating it and have your blood sugar soar and your body start having lots of problems.
You know, I'm so glad we have that bio-directed liver. My liver was up in things that weren't good for it. And I called Dr. Bosco's, and I said, I've gotten that my liver, my doctor's taken me off of every single thing I'm taking because of the liver. And Dr. Bosco said, double up on our bio-directed liver. And I took 3 in the morning, of course, and 3 at night. And, you know, within 2 weeks, my doctor was amazed. My liver was back to normal.
Wow.
So that's bio-directed liver, and what you're saying is, I'm sure glad we have our bio-directed liver, too.
And so the cleanse also cleanses the liver.
Yeah. Right, and I take that also.
This is so interesting about
fiber. He says fiber is, you know, because
help flush things.
The fiber you fill up. Just like I said, he says you can't possibly eat a whole box of apples. But fruit juice, on the other hand, is a problem. Because it's the juice minus the fiber.
And a lot of people will go to the juice because it's quick and easy. Who wants to take the time to chew a fruit?
Many people are feeding their children bottles and bottles of juice.
Yep.
And it's not the whole juice. It's completely distilled.
The sippy cup ones, full of them.
And the fructose in there makes it addictive.
Uh-huh.
This is so interesting about the fructose. When my youngest was a kid, in preschool, a friend of his that we used to carpool with became, in those days they didn't even have a name for it, but he was ADD, ADHD probably, and his mother was that much ahead of the game by taking him off of sugar, red dye, and maybe something else, but she swore by fructose. He could have as much of any of fructose as he wanted.
He could.
That is really? So interesting.
Yeah, it just it also gives the website where all this information came from. And it points out to be careful. It's in all your processed stuff, and if you pick it up, it's almost cut like MSG. When you start looking for it, then suddenly it's in everything, and you go, oh, my goodness, what can I eat now?
Mm-hmm.
I picked up 4 loaves of bread yesterday in our grocery store before I found one that didn't have it, that had good ingredients. I don't have a Trader Joe's nearby, so when I need a loaf of bread, I have to get what's here. But
you know, you remind me, Brenda, of when we did our shopping spree and had to search for certain products, and I tailed one of his staff around for a short period of time, and now I understand why she was so livid on the fructose, because he did not go into it as much depth as you did right there on that specific part of it. He just, you know, said it and said these are things that we don't, because there was so much to cover. But hearing what you gave just makes it so much stronger. And if I believe I'm correct in remembering that if there is a common ingredient in a product that's in all, like all orange juice, that doesn't even be on the label. Was that addressed at all?
Well, they said that sucralose is in the fruit juice, and half of sucralose is fructose.
Okay, that's how they get around it. Okay, gotcha.
That's how they fool you, because you're looking for high fructose corn syrup, but it says sucralose, and so you buy it. But it's a trick. And then there's people here who are saying, this one lady said she gets rapid heartbeats when she eats any of it. Terrible reaction. I eat or drink anything that contains it. I have rapid heartbeats and shortness of breath. And then I read in one of the books I was looking at this morning that people with IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, has very bad reactions to it. Now, I know I have relatives. My son-in-law has it. And always on medicine and never knows what is triggering it. He thinks he's eating okay. But he eats all the processed foods and stuff. So I guess people are just on this roller coaster and they don't know why their symptoms are being triggered.
What website was that on? You found that information, Brenda?
McDougall's website, Dr. McDougall's, drmcdougall.com. Then I went under the search and just typed in high fructose corn syrup.
Thank you.
And you know, this is so totally damaging for people who are diabetics.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's causing diabetes, too.
Oh, I'm sure that it plays a very large part.
And they think since it's not sugar, it's okay.
That's right.
Well, I had one tell me just a few days ago, a very severe diabetic and many other conditions going on in her body, that's what they told her to use, and that's what she is using for sweetener, and she is having a huge liver problem. So guess who I'm going to get a hold of as soon as I'm off this call? Print out the information and give it to them to read.
My doctor said it's okay, Shara.
Well, I don't know whether it came from a doctor, but it was supposed to be somebody that was giving her, you know, good knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the doctor, obviously the doctor hasn't warned her about it, or she should be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I think doctors get a hold of a little bit of evidence, but they don't have all of the information.
I was fantastic. I mean, this is what doctors are telling their patients.
This is awful.
Yeah.
Because this leads to heart problems too, you know, with it raises the cholesterol in the fatty acids and everything. So why wouldn't a heart doctor say, you know what, you don't need to be eating this stuff. This stuff is going to be, it's a vicious cycle.
Okay, you said that this was used in manufacturing only, but where does the fructose that we can buy as a replacement for sugar fit into that? Did he address that? Because it can't be good.
Let me find that spot.
It can't be good. It's obviously not as bad as this, but it's
I don't think it says fruit. It's high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
It's because it's so concentrated. It's super, super concentrated. Because somebody asked if corn syrup is the same as high fructose corn syrup, and is soy concentrate the same as soy isolate? And the answer is corn syrup, such as the stuff we can buy ourselves in the grocery store, is not the same thing as high fructose corn syrup. The later is something that is that is engineered to have a high concentration of fructose, hence the name, and is sweeter than the regular stuff. So it's a high concentration of fructose, which is your sweetener. And sweeter than the regular stuff. Last I heard, high fructose corn syrup is only available to food processors. I tried Googling this but couldn't find the discussion of this. I've read it somewhere. And then soy concentrate is the same name as soy isolate. Healthwise, Dr. McDougall said the June 2005 newsletter, you can identify the synthesized concentrate proteins on the ingredient list of your foods by these words: defatted soy flour, organic textured soy flour, textured vegetable protein, isolated vegetable protein, soy protein, concentrates, and soy concentrates. These new foods in no way resemble nature's creations, and the effects on your health make that clear. Very interesting.
Yes, it is.
And wordplay they've got.
Well, I think I know you're much better off using the stevia first, and then the sucanat and the turbinado as far as sugars, and leaving off the rest of them because that's the order that they would go in my bank, as far as which would be the healthiest. The stevia would be the best. The sucanat, if you're using a natural sugar, straight sugar, stevia is not considered a sugar. It's a sweetener, but not a sugar. And after the sucanat, then the turbinado, and those look totally different. Very light tan granular, and you can get those very readily in the health food stores or places that sell by the bulk. In moderation, again.
Mm-hmm. So they digest slower. You can't eat as much of it as you can the high fructose corn syrup. You will taste it, and you will feel like you've had enough when you've had enough.
So it tricks the brain.
Well, it's the addictive situation with the food industry. That's how they make their money, is to have people buy their product, and if they can make you buy their product instead of another one because you like the taste of it better, guess what? All back to the politics of food again. Great information, Brenda.
Well, thank you. We'll thank Dr. McDougall for putting it up for us.
The clarification on it is, my same statement, it's education. And if we've got that and then backup, and then he gives you the backup for where it came from on his site, I don't know what more we can ask for.
So that should help. It's brain-boggling, I guess you could say, when we hear something, we read something, and then we read something else, and it contradicts what we heard and read. So it's up to us to put it together like a puzzle and find out where the common sense lays.
Yeah, not all information is the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so does anybody else have any?
Brenda, this is Mary Lou. Let me ask you a question. Your voice is real soft, and I have a little bit of a hard time. I don't think I'm hard hearing, but I have a hard time hearing you sometimes. But let me ask, did you say that the hydrogen corn syrup or the no fructose? I wanted to be sure I was getting clean between when you went over glucose and then the fructose. I'm not sure if I understood exactly.
Brenda, do you star four? Excuse me for interrupting.
Right.
Okay, let me star four. Okay, is that better?
Much better.
Oh, okay, good. This says glucose, the standard sugar, and that can be taken up by every organ of the body. And then there's fructose and high concentrated fructose, which is the other one, which cannot be taken up by the liver. And then the difference is how much it sends to the liver. High fructose corn syrup sends a lot more of the calories that you take in from that to the liver. And then the liver doesn't metabolize it, so you start running into a lot of trouble.
Okay, thanks.
It says it hits the liver three times as much as when it was just glucose alone. Fructose does three things that are particularly bad in the liver. The first is uric acid pathway, which is fat production, excess fat production, and so-called VLDL, the bad form of cholesterol. Very low-density lipoproteins end up being manufactured when you consume this large amount of fructose in a way that glucose does not. And so that leads to dyslipidemia. Finally, fructose initiates an enzyme in the liver called JNK1. And when you initiate JNK1, what happens is that your insulin receptors in your liver stop working. And that means your insulin levels all over your body have to rise. Glucose, on the other hand, does not do the above unless consumed in very large quantities. But your body has a mechanism to let you know when you've ingested too much. So that clarifies it pretty good.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm wondering on these labels, since the food industry and businesses can turn things around so different ways, like you alluded to a while ago. What on any of the things that we're looking under label ingredients would we be looking for? Would it be the fructose? How are they listing it, I'm wondering, on their food ingredients?
High concentrated fructose.
Fructose, okay.
And it looks like sucrose or sucralose. Because it says fructose is half of sucrose.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then he goes on to say sucrose is what is in your juice, your orange juice. And soda. Man, I remember being thrilled when my one-year-old daughter could drink Coke out of a straw. That's pretty frightening.
Well, I was sitting around at a coffee shop yesterday, and two of the people were there were just, and when y'all mentioned a while ago about this, the bowel syndrome, they're going back and forth, and one lady's going to the doctor, but they're having, their intestines are so messed up all the time, they're having diarrhea all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, and on the tape I could remember that, from, I think it was Dr. Peterson, he said that, you know, if they were having diarrhea, they maybe didn't need to get looser, you know, with our cleanse. But I don't know how you, I can't believe that they're in such a shape with this, and yet one of them was drinking a diet drink, and I told them how bad the diet drink was, but they didn't say that they'd stop. But I can't believe how bad people's bodies are in right now with their bowel syndrome and how we'd address it.
Well, there's also estrogen in most of the diet sodas.
Yeah, I heard a nutritionist, he went through everything that's in the diet soda, and it's basically poison for your body. There isn't one ingredient in the whole thing that's any good for you. Between the acid, the fructose, the high corn syrup, the carbon dioxide, the carbonation,
mm-hmm.
So if that's what you exhale, that's the poison, you don't want to put more of that back into you. And the distilled water. There's nothing in there that's any benefit for you.
Well, I just think that any diet drink, but somehow or another you can't convince people, they go ahead and drink them. So I guess you can't help them with anything else then.
Well, I was thinking, okay, if you're going to have it, at least don't drink diet.
Uh-huh.
And after reading this, I'm of the idea, you know, if you're going to have it, don't have it.
Uh-huh.
They're neither one.
I said, well, go back to the regular. One was having a diet Dr. Pepper, and I said, well, have a regular Dr. Pepper. I don't like the taste of it now, since I like these. So I thought, well, there's no need for me saying another word, so I didn't. But anyway, I just didn't know what we could do that would help somebody, because they're not being able to even work, come to work and functioning. She was saying she'd had to stay, go home two or three times, or couldn't go this or that because of her, you know, her intestines. And I think, golly.
Well, both of my children have, one of them has colitis, and one of them has irritable bowel syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And her husband has irritable bowel syndrome. So I think it's very much out there. And it's the way that their diet has been their entire life, with dairy, soda, processed, what's hidden in our processed foods, and it's striking them in their young age. It's pretty much a young age disease. They're being hit at around 21,
mm-hmm.
18, 21 to 25 years old. And it's hard on them, and they put them on very powerful drugs that are really not good, and they tell them they have to live on them for the rest of their life. This is a rest of your life drug. And I did call Dr. McDougall about this when my daughter got colitis last year. And he said, he sent her, we ordered his book about colitis, and basically the answer is go natural and go vegan. That it can be reversed. Well, she's on a sleep system, and she drinks pie water, and very seldom will she take any nutrition, but she did. And she's changing her diet a little, not a lot. They're pretty stubborn, these kids.
Was that the digestive tune-up book?
I think so.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it right now, and,
yeah.
You know, he says everything starts with the intestinal tract and how your body functions with what you put in it.
What's the name of the book again, Sha?
Digestive Tune-Up by Dr. McDougall. This is his, I believe, his very latest book out. It's been out maybe a year and a half. Let me look at the date on it. But this is the one that they talked about. I've done some of the things. I've used it more for lookup than anything else, and he's got several references. I just looked up irritable bowel because our son deals with that also and was given exactly the same diagnosis you just said, Brenda, medication for the rest of your life. It was 2006, so.
And steroids.
Yes, oh yes, and the steroids. And he went in, this is when I sent him to a herbalist, and she put him on exactly what we're doing, you know, a plant-based and very, very strict. I mean, there were a lot of things that were not put on at the beginning. I mean, he had no fruits, I don't believe, at all at the beginning, and just a few legumes and vegetables, very restricted, and he was cleared up in 2 weeks. And then she gradually reintroduced, you know, a much wider range of foods. And so when he gets into trouble, what does he go to? Well, one of them's black beans. I can't remember the rest of them. But he goes to a very, very simple, plain diet of what we would consider really restricted for all the stuff we eat. And he knows it. But, you know, he doesn't stay that clean. And so he knows when he gets into trouble. But
generally he's in balance?
Pardon?
Generally he's in balance?
Not by the way we talk, no.
With his body, I mean, he's not having...
He doesn't get into the bad hurting. I mean, he was passing blood. They couldn't dose him. He was so doubled up they couldn't even walk when he went in the last time, and that's when they diagnosed him with it. Mm-hmm. But they kept saying it was the flu for better than 2 weeks, and he couldn't even function. And he's got a pretty good tolerance for pain, so he just kept living with it. And
absolutely. They kept telling my daughter it was in her mind. She'd lost 3/4 of her blood in her body. 3/4 of it. And finally they took her serious. And she was so inflamed they couldn't do a colonoscopy.
Oh, my gosh.
But 1 year later, when she went back for her checkup after she'd finally gotten better, and she had medicine reactions. They were giving her medicine and medicine for the reactions, and her back was killing her. She has a bar in her back. And I took her into the emergency room, and we were there all night long without being seen, in severe pain. And the doctor still didn't think it was the medication. And I said, she's having severe reactions to this medication. She has to be off of it. So finally he realized, maybe we should change her medicine. So that stuff is very, very hard. But in 1 year, when she went back for her colonoscopy, they could not see anything. There was nothing. Her tract and digestive tract was, colon tract, completely clear. And the doctor said, I have never seen this. I've never seen a result like this. But they still leave her on the meds. So I know it has to do with... it's not the medication that made her better. She drinks high water. She sleeps on the sleep system. So I know that helped her somewhat.
Is she plant-based now?
No.
Oh, she's not?
No, she's not. But she's getting there. She's, you know, she and my other daughter both, they're gradually getting there, because when they come here, I feed them that way, and I preach to them all the time. And they're trying it some, and they're seeing results.
Mm.
They're starting to notice the difference when they eat dairy or cheese or too much meat. They're finally realizing, oh, I'm sick when I do this, and I'm not sick when I don't. But there's a real stubbornness to these kids. So the one, Mary Lou, saw in the restaurant, can you say to them? You really can't say much. You have to be careful.
You just have to say it.
Choose your words. Forget
it.
Huh?
I just say a little bit. You know, you shouldn't drink those. You know how bad they are. You know, on the diet drinks. But I mean, both of the people standing there were saying, "I need to go home from work." They felt so bad, and she had to stop 2 or 3 times and go. And they're that condition. And then she kept saying that her doctor was telling her to take the dry powder. And I couldn't understand what, I didn't question much more with dry powder, but, you know, she couldn't take it at night, and then they go the opposite way. I guess if they're taking a Metamucil or something like that, I didn't know what it was. And then she'd go, then they get the other way,
Metamucil,
and turn around and take something over the counter for constipation.
Mm-hmm. If, you know, I tend to tell people, look, I know somebody, my kids had it too, and I I know some things that have helped them, and it's not your basic stuff. If you are tired of this and want to hear more, here's my card. Give me a call.
That's good.
You know.
Anybody ever call you?
Usually I don't have to ask them to call me because I have them sitting in my chair.
Uh-oh.
I have time to talk to them a little bit.
And you've got scissors in your hand.
But, you know, from my experience, even with my children, just changing your diet is not usually a quick decision.
No, they're not going to do that.
Change is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I like? This is Jeannie. I've been listening in. This is excellent, Brenda. I always think of, and this is kind of hard-nosed maybe, but, okay, if you were to put water in your gas tank of your car, or, you know, go back to the car analogy, how would your car react? You know, well, what are you putting in your body, and how do you think your body's reacting to all of that? You know?
Yeah.
We take better care of our cars than we do our bodies.
Yeah, that always helps me to, at least in my own mind, maybe not for other people, but, you know, think just to get them to think about, perhaps, what they're putting in their body.
It starts from thinking. One that started my thinking a long time ago was I thought, now wait a minute. If I took this Coke and I watered my plant with it all the time and never gave them real water, how long would that plant live?
Yeah.
What would happen to that plant? And that's something visual that I could see.
Mm-hmm.
No, what makes me think that this is going to make my body live?
Mm-hmm.
I got a question. I don't know which one mentioned that there was a nutrition list on the diet or on the POP that showed that one single thing is good for your body and what it does. Is there any place we can get that list? Because I'd love to give that to my granddaughters.
You know what, that was when I was at a doctor's panel meeting over in the Bay Area. It was maybe it was the guy who spoke about water. He gave all that information, and I'll look it up and see if I can find it. And if I can't, I'll email them.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Okay.
Because I'm going to make copies of the fructose stuff, but... You know, they'll only listen to so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This takes dripping a little bit at a time on somebody, you know?
Well, I'll try. I've really been dripping on the osteodink with my daughter's going to be 55 and giving her all the testimonies I have and the things from Dr. Jackson.
Oh, did you get the latest one on osteodynts from Dr. Jackson? The testimony of the lady with the heart pacemaker?
I think so. Didn't, I don't think.
Did anybody else hear that or get that one?
You want to send it to Char so she can send it?
I'll send it to Char.
That's a good one. That's a real good one to save. I save some of them that I get, the testimonies, so that I can give a whole bunch of them.
I needed it yesterday, too.
That's great.
If I say it, it seems like it doesn't go, but if it's written down and they can read it, it's better.
Uh-huh.
More cloud or something. The value of the third party, you're bringing in the expert, whether it's on paper or whether it's, you know, and then it's up to them to disprove it. The same way that you just proved it.
You're right. That's helpful. May I ask one other question? I'm asking it in a different way. Did you ever hear any more, Char, on the water system about our gravity flow, whether it rated the 53 or the 43, like they sent out earlier?
I haven't. I've got one to go to... Dave Balzer. So maybe it'll come back in that one.
Okay. Good.
as soon as you can, that will be helpful. Because we have such a water problem here in the little town, and I was trying to do something with it. Okay, that will be helpful. Thanks.
Danny wants to know what little town, Mary Lou.
Roscoe, Texas.
And they have whales in our area, but this has been a big ad in the paper. See, it's not meeting any of the criteria of going through their municipal system. It's got lots of bacteria. So people there are buying every bit of their water, but they want to know if our gravity flow will take those out. And what the way I was reading the information that we got from the email some days before was that, you know, he had the rating on the under the counter and on top of the counter, the newest ones. But he never alluded if that we had the same standards for the gravity flow and the less expensive ones. Did you hear me?
I did, yes.
I didn't know if I made it clear or not. So.
Right. I got it.
Yes. But they're having so much problems with the water, and it seems like it's our underwater, and of course that's a very highly firm land, and they have been doing it for lots of chemicals and fertilizers for lots of years, you know, because they have really rich land, you know. And so I didn't know.
Okay, so you're close to Abilene, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
And Abilene has the only place you can really take your water to have it, you know, tested all the way through. Our local health department just has it for, you know, testing the bacteria in it or the chloroform in it. But you have to take it over there.
And the big issue with testing the water is good for that batch of water, and who knows what happens the next time.
Yes, that's it. You just really don't. Like, I had whales tested out for my cattle where they drink up on the hill, and they, it's into the ground, but it came back contaminated, and there was, you know, there wasn't any way that the well was open, so it's down in your, it's in our groundwater, you know. So it's really getting scary.
Well, Roscoe is real close to Sweetwater, right?
Right, uh-huh. It's just about 8 miles away.
Well, where'd they get the name Sweetwater, then?
Where'd they get the name Sweetwater? A long, long time ago. It had a different name, and we even have one place called Bitter Creek, but it's all, our water's called Sweetwater. Our town is. But water was better then.
It was.
Back in the 1800s.
That was kind of comical, like water bad, but then it says Sweetwater, huh?
Yeah. Well, our water in our town is okay right here, but it's that adjoining. But you know that if it's there, it's going to be in our groundwater, so, you know, everywhere from where the wells are coming.
Have they they don't want to purchase the under the sink?
Well, they're asking, will it take it out? And I can't answer the question. I can't say yes or no.
They can choose which
one. On the top of the counter, you know, like the one I have, and that's the one I've used to demonstrate. And I can't answer the question because that's the one that I always do when I'm doing a show or when I set it up, and I have it in my kitchen, you know. And that's the one I'm using, but I don't know with their question of will this gravity flow, and that was my question. Is it okay, or should I have the other kind purchased and use it only? Even for my safety, I'm wondering. If I should have the newest ones that's under the counter or on top of the counter.
Okay, I'll ask for a difference in the two as far as his recommendation and see if I can get that also.
Okay, that would be helpful. I hate to interrupt you, but
but I needed to, you know, ask that other question, and I'd been off a day or two. Could get back on the call, so.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that answer, too.
Okay, let's see if we can plod it along a little bit here.
Well, on the cooking note, real quick, I decided that I like mushrooms and spaghetti. Once a while back, I thought, oh, I'm going to make my husband regular some hamburger in his spaghetti. Hated it. And sauteing up mushrooms with onions and a little zucchini in the spaghetti sauce, I think is just fabulous. I don't know if anybody's done that, but the mushrooms are kind of meaty and really good.
With garlic, too.
And I throw in chopped up garlic.
What type of mushrooms do you use?
Oh, just a little white button mushroom.
Okay.
Different mushrooms give different textures, like the portobellos and some of the different ones can give even a chewier texture to it.
Now, they're more meaty, aren't they? The portobellos, they're more
right.
Firm.
Right.
Yeah, I think
and you can even start with the dried ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just rinse them really well and then put them in and let them simmer with it, and they do incredible also. And the dried ones are nice to have on hand, and they're also much more economical to pick up also.
Mm-hmm.
So did you cook the veggies first or put them in just raw?
I sauté them first.
Oh, you did. Well, you know what you could do is boil them with your pasta water. Save a pot.
My recipe used to let it, I did this years ago and then forgotten about it until you brought it up. Mine would just all simmer from raw vegetables. You could put it on for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours and just let it simmer. You could do it in a slow crock pot also, and it made a wonderful spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, it's really good. Onions, garlic, mushrooms. Sometimes I throw in some celery, but
yeah, you can just put about anything in there to give it, you know, texture and flavor.
You're making kind of a pasta primavera.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when I just want the basic spaghetti sauce that's not as primavera-y, I just do the mushrooms and garlic and onions. And maybe some zucchini. Cut it small because it's pretty good.
And then with all the fresh tomatoes right now, you can do a fresh tomato sauce that you don't cook at all and set it in the refrigerator like overnight and then bring it to room temperature and put that over your pasta, and that is incredible. Jeannie's very familiar with that because Rick does that quite a bit. And that was one of the recipes in the Perfect Health, the Natural Way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nancy's been talking about that one lately.
Yes.
I finished it last night.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first recipes that Ricky loved when we first changed our eating habits. He just loved that one, too. We had an Italian friend that makes one that sits on the counter. She calls hers summer pasta, fresh summer pasta, I think. And we had her recipe down. She puts olives in. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really good.
And
I just cut back on the oil a little bit.
Go ahead. I think of it as a summer pasta also, interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because it's not hot.
Right. Just let it sit on the counter there.
And the fresh ingredients you can get. They were showing on TV a couple of days ago, the differences between buying from your fruit stand or buying from the grocery store. They had side-by-side food. That was very interesting, the color difference, the look difference, and from what they were saying, the taste difference.
That's interesting. I gave two of my friends tomatoes a while ago, and one of them called me the next day. She said, you know, I forgot what a real tomato tastes like, rather than from the store.
Why are they?
From our garden, I gave.
Yeah.
Yeah. No comparison between what you buy in a store and what you grow in the yard.
So, is there anything else, any other questions or thoughts today?
It's excellent information. Thank you so much, Brenda.
But you're welcome. And so we'll sign off now, I guess. If anybody else would like to keep talking, just feel free to. But my day needs to move on. And if you gathered any information from this call today, that's great. And if you have any other questions, call in tomorrow and for information to share, and share it with us. We'd love to hear it. And thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, Brenda. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.